All right, and welcome back. The ACC meetings are over. Matter of fact, the Miami Hurricanes will be on the field in a couple of days, man. College football follows the NFL. High school guys will be out there. Saw guys walk into practice yesterday getting warmed up. So, boy, we're going to have everything here rolling.
Well, UM's openers in a month. I mean, it's August 30th, right? End of
next month. Notre Dame in the open, one of the best openers
Florida.
In
and then Florida. What a,
Florida a couple weeks later.
We'll know about Miami. If they win those two games, then they're off to the races, right?
Ooh.
Hey, speaking of that, of the high school, real quickly, and mentioned it, Dave, you wrote about it too. This Teddy Bridgewater thing at Northwestern High School, he's getting a little support, but most people are still staying away from it. The Florida High School Athletic Association is not going to change. It's run from the northern part of the state, and they're not going to budge on the Teddy thing. They've had people that have reached out, said, "Hey, man, everything he did with that money, just consider him the booster club."
Right. What's the difference?
So he doesn't work at the school. He is the booster club. How you know how booster clubs get to go? We need $40,000 to feed them and help them out and. And so he is, which by the way, I used to think Northwestern had a big booster club because Central's pretty strong. And so he gives all this money. He did a breakdown. He didn't even hide it. He went on Facebook. He goes, "Hey, this is what I've been doing. Cost a lot of money. Could use your help." Now, some people are upset going, "Well, Teddy, you made all that damn money. You just pay for it." But to the point of the job, they literally suspend him and said, "You're done." He goes, "I'm done. I don't work. You guys don't pay me anything. I'm here because this is my high school."
Yeah, look, from the school standpoint, they're saying, "We know the FHSAA is going to come cracking down on us." Because there are cases out there where they've done the same. But seriously, first of all, they knew what he was doing all year, right? Because, second of all, he's helping out all these right. players, all this. I mean,
you know, Uber stuff is to help guys get to and from school
and meals. You know, for
by
players
the way,
who
every coach in private and public school in South Florida, every coach has had to deal with a kid coming in hungry and no food to eat. Some guys in some really tough backgrounds. And I get it. They're good players. And
look, Teddy Bridgewater's in the middle of his where he grew up, his high school, helping out guys like him, went through the same thing that he did, and probably don't have the talent he did, but trying to help them, you know, start off life the right way. And all of a sudden, he gets cracked down on. People should be saluting him, not firing him.
So I just think there's so much. This goes back to the dominance of this part of the state in high school football. They switched all the categories. They switched them around, went to a new system because basically there were eight divisions before, and I believe we won like seven of them the one year, and we were winning all of them. And I think a lot of the complaining goes on. I think it's so unfair. I think it's a joke. I get mad that more people who have positions of power in Dade County don't stand up to the Florida High School Athletic Association. I'm not saying there hasn't been a few, but nothing's going to change. They didn't have that many people. They gave me a heads up there's going to be a little protest at the school, but I don't know if you saw it on TV. There weren't that many people there for it. But that's just too bad. And, oh, by the way, you know what's being left out? Teddy's got one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, they won the state last year, right?
And they clobbered people last year. And he's got that team plus this year. He's got an unbelievable football team coming back. So
is there any hope? That's the question.
No.
It doesn't sound like it. Like
no,
he's
sound
out
good.
And
doesn't sound good.
And yeah, I mean, it was put out there. He made $65 million in his pro career. Why can't he just pay? But the larger point is to get some structure in that school so that when he leaves, you know, he ain't going to be coached there forever. So that, okay, this stuff that he set up can go on forever.
I know one thing. That principal and athletic director at Northwestern, they better support that man or they need to lose their friggin' jobs. They need to be out. If they're not supporting Teddy, I mean, it's got to start right in your backyard. It's got to start there, like going to bat for him. So if he doesn't get paid by him anyway, how do they keep him away if he wants to go, all right, I'll just be a receiver coach and stand on the outside.
Well, that's what he said. I wasn't part of the school before. I'll just sit in the bleachers now and help out. But, you know, this happens all across South Florida, that high school coaches are digging into their pockets and helping out.
Yeah, but they don't go to Facebook and say and do the thing. That's the only mistake he made.
Yes.
He had no idea it was a mistake or he wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I mean, he could kind of put out the evidence about that he's doing this and that, and your first reaction is, what a great guy. You know, what a great guy that he's helping kids out way.
You know,
and shouldn't more people with means do that?
You know who went to bat for him? Instead of the people should be going to bat for him, it's all the NFL people. It's all the NFL people that have coached and been with Teddy and know how important that high school is to him. The guy went to that high school. A lot of guys go to high school and don't come back to help their high school. They might go come back and watch a game. And Darren Rizzi came on, had him with the Saints and just how great he was just to be around. One of the greatest human beings to be around. Same thing with some of the guys on ESPN came out, the national guys, some of the top podcasts.
Well, I know the Dolphins really like Teddy Bridgewater. You know, I didn't get to know him.
Unbelievable.
But everybody talked very highly of him.
You know when this all started for Teddy? When the whole Randy Shannon thing and Teddy ends up going to Louisville and half that recruiting class followed him to Louisville. And they went on and beat Florida in a bowl game. And Teddy's leadership was phenomenal. He's one of the great leaders of all time. Seriously. People follow Teddy. And his impact on Dade County is huge. So, anyway,
let's get that straightened out, huh? Wouldn't that be great?
The good old boys up there aren't changing, man. I just want to make sure they're doing it to everybody, including the good old boy backyard.
I know one of the precedents was a school in Orlando where the coach did similar thing, and the school got suspended. So, but. I mean, the high school association should be supporting guys, NFL guys who come back to their neighborhoods, coaching their schools, help out the kids.
Well, we have a lot of NFL guys coaching.
Coaching.
Not necessarily all head coaches, but we have a lot of guys coaching. St. Thomas got guys, American Heritage Plantation got NFL guys.
A lot of the private schools.
All have guys at the school and – excuse me, and their kids go to the schools and everything else. But, hey, Northwestern, Central, same group, fully loaded. Well, Larry Bluestein will be joining us again coming up here real soon and get back in. We got five or six powerhouses, Dia Bell and that team up at American Heritage Plantation. He's turned into a five-star quarterback, and his team is loaded. St. Thomas going to be loaded. Chaminade Madonna. Just had a five-star running back commit to Texas. They're loaded.
Are they still trying to get out of that small school group? That was one of the stranger things. I did a column on this that their coaches would go to the opposing coaches before a game. Hey, really sorry. This, you know, we're gonna take when they're playing these small schools because they're in the small school bracket, and they don't want to be in it.
No.
And their opponents don't want them to be in it. But FHSAA won't let them out of it. And so it's like, what, you know.
Well, I will just say one thing. You think college football, the transfer portal, the high school thing opened up here, and it has been, in my opinion, and it's not going to stop. You can transfer a couple times a year if you're not happy. It's a disaster. The high school transfer portal is a friggin' disaster. To Teddy's point, so now kids are traveling more than ever because they might skip two counties to go to a high school. Got kids in Palm Beach going to Broward, Dade kids going to Broward, up to be on these certain teams. So doesn't change their background. Somehow they got to get to school. If everybody was to look into how everybody's getting to school every day.
That's how Teddy was paying $700 a week in Uber charges.
Yes.
It's crazy in high school that of course we're you talk about old school. It used to be a community. You knew every community was defined, and everybody went to those community schools.
Man,
and now it's,
you didn't even think about going to high school, and if your team happened to suck, you just kind of, it was the old town pride and your high school against theirs, and you see them on a Friday night, and it was gangs of like our guys against their guys, and extra police so you could get out after the game.
You
it was
in
great.
A tough neighborhood. I didn't have any.
Oh,
of that, Joe.
My God, that was a big thing. And hey, guy, this guy's waiting for you, and the police have come over. Oh yeah, it was ridiculous, crazy stuff, crazy. Hey, I'll tell you what's not crazy. We got to go to break as always, and a lot more stuff to get to. I do want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic this morning, ED and low T. Don't let it mess up your weekend. Do something about it. Why? I've been telling you for 13 months, Atlantic Men's Clinic will knock out low T and ED. And right now, if you're going through a time where you're tired all the time, you're dragging, you're not sleeping well, you even find yourself almost depressed. Matter of fact, somebody's mentioned maybe counseling would be good for you. How about getting rid of low T and ED? Sex drive is gone as well. It was hit and miss for a while. Now it's just miss. Nothing's working. If you're going through it and it's bothering you, do something about it. Set up that first appointment with Atlantic Men's Clinic. Professional, the right way. That's what they're all about. And getting you great results quickly. We've got not only 7 locations in South Florida to serve you, but the newest one in Hollywood has just been a home run. It's a great location. Get the PSA test. You meet with their professionals. They will ask you some questions, and we'll get you going. Get you going. Whatever it is you're going through right now, they're going to knock it out for you, get you great results. And by the way, the number one question I'm always asked, how long before it kicks in? It kicks in real quickly, and you're going to get great results. You're going to start to feel better. I promise you, 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment today. Set it up. Call Atlantic Men's Clinic, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. The first appointment is the most important one because you're about ready to get set up to have great results with Atlantic Men's Clinic. All right, welcome back. Good morning. Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel with us. All Day Dan Day. Jamie's in here with us, who's got superstar mother, Sherry. I never had that mom. I never had that mom when I was home. Goes, hey, we're going to the game this weekend. That was my dad. But Sherry, man, that's unbelievable.
My mom at 10 used to drop me off on street corners to sell stuff. That was my mom. My mom wasn't a sports mom. She was more like, get out and work.
Wait, she dropped you on the street corner to sell stuff?
Yeah.
What were you selling?
I never heard this. What are you talking about?
Go door to door selling. I'd sell anything from plant seeds to.
You didn't have a paper route as a kid?
Yeah, I had a paper route.
All right, everybody got to have a. You're in a small town. You got to get. Hey, yeah. You're up, Joe, if you want the paper route. No way.
I was working my dad's printing presses at age 13. You know, my family, it wasn't about sports. It was like, are you working? What do you mean you're not working?
Oh, no. In the summer, it was, I know your game's tonight, but what are you doing all day? Well, I was going to rest. No, there ain't no resting. Your ass needs to work. We had a lot of jobs.
I was looking for a job in high school, and my mom call this guy, who's my gym teacher from elementary, call this guy. He's a tow truck driver. I worked for a tow truck company for 6 years, driving tow truck, getting calls at 3 a.m. It was often drunk driver. We got to get this car out of a ditch or a creek or.
So I think I've told you, like, where I am, it's all agriculture. So I pick fruit.
You picked fruit.
Had to fill up a bin to get paid. Had to fill up at least one bin.
What kind of fruit are we talking?
Plums to lots of different stuff. Like certain fruits got to be picked. You can't shake it, bruise it up. So it'd be hand picked, and But again, you're working with professionals out there. We had a lot of workers from other countries that came in for summer to do that. And they were business, man. They were like, you get one bin, they'd be working on their fifth bin. You know, I mean, they were filling up one of those bins. And then I worked up to, when I turned 15, driving the tractor to keep the bins out in front.
That sounds like a better job.
Much better. So your job was to keep the tractor, because it had the bins on the back for those guys that were picking professionally, I mean, and rapid, fast. It was all business, man. They're sprinting up and down like it was the last hour. And so that was a pretty good job. But hey, listen, man, that was the old school. That was the old school stuff right there, picking fruit, man. That picking fruit stuff, and then you'd eat it too. And next
I want
thing
one
you know,
of those sports moms. Can I get maybe?
I like
maybe,
the sports
I,
mom.
I like that idea.
Hey, honey, no. What'd you want to do? No, we're not going out tonight. We're going to the damn game. That's Sherry. Sherry's telling Jamie's father, hey, Pops, Mom said we're going to friggin' game, bro. We're going to Marlins game. They got the Yankees in town. Man,
what do you mean you got homework? Go practice. Go practice, son.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, my mom and dad did make sports was a priority. I mean, it was a priority in the whole family. So it was.
Yeah, same with mine. My dad played lacrosse at Syracuse. Actually,
he did
a few years before Jim Brown showed up there.
Yeah.
So he was like the leading scorer one.
I think it's still one of the greatest stories of all sports is Jim Brown, one of the greatest running backs, one of the most physical players all time, played lacrosse. At Syracuse,
dominated,
apparently was really
dominated
good.
He didn't play. He dominated. As good as he was in football, he was good in lacrosse.
So he used to,
evidently, you know, that's what the story is.
He used to run guys over because they were small defensive linemen. He ran everybody over and then outran them. Run them over, and then the secondary guys couldn't catch him. And then I find out he played at Syracuse, played lacrosse. And he was really good. What a – damn, Dave, I didn't know that, man. That's
Yeah, you sit around long enough, you just drag. See, I don't have stories of therapy, and I can't do talk radio. I don't have therapy stories. I'm not proud that I went to therapy.
I mean, I enjoy going to therapy. I thought it was great.
It makes for great radio, Joe.
You haven't been dysfunctional, Dave. It's good if you
all
haven't been
Dan
dysfunctional.
All day Dan Day was telling his life story. It sounded a lot very much more interesting all than my life story.
All day, yeah. Yeah, all day, he's interesting. He's got a little dark side to him all day.
Costa Rican open bar and marriages, it'll get you every time.
I got one of my cousins just got divorced. Marriage wasn't good for a while, and he went home one day and said, I'm done with this. I just want to turn a certain age where I can quit my job. I'm done. I don't want to be married to you. And split up, and he goes, and oh, by the way, the second part of this, I'm moving to Costa Rica. So I called him the other day. I know what he's doing. He's banging them three at a time over there. So I said, hey, what's going on? And he's laughing. Plays golf and rotates him in.
I went on vacation to Costa Rica five summers in a row with my family. We'd go up in the mountains where there's no electricity
Dave. Those days.
It was a different world. Different world than the those one all day Dan old. Day lived there.
Those are way, yeah.
And your cousin.
Yeah, he's not even high. Yeah, so everybody talks about him now that he just went over and said, I'm going to do this. Costa Rica is not very expensive, so he liked it. He got a little place, bought a place on a golf course.
He's the Americano, the gringo.
He said there's a bunch of them over there.
Yeah,
expat. It's the closest country to the United States. You don't have to be a citizen to own land. That's why it's so popular with expats.
Look at this. I didn't know that.
He's done research. I almost bought a 120-acre farm in Costa Rica. I had the papers all drawn up. And I chickened out.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I know friggin' Tom Brady and his ex-wife used to go to Costa Rica all the time.
Well, they
so
lived a
nice.
different life.
Well, yeah. They're living in a little different neighborhood than you are. What the hell were you going to pay for 120 acres over there?
It was only like $80,000. This was like
$80,000.
It was up in the mountains, out west. It was different.
Can't go to the Everglades for getting an acre for $80,000 right now.
Jeez. I chickened out, though. I wimped out because you talk about changing your life. Not that I would have lived down there the whole time.
You know what I have learned is you go to buy a place and your family sounds like they're all in, then nobody ever wants to go.
That was one of the problems.
And you're stuck.
Yeah.
And you're going, your wife goes, well, I thought this was going to be a family. Two of the kids didn't want to come again. So there you are,
yeah,
stuck.
Right, yeah. That was a major issue.
My wife's biggest fear of buying a second home, because I was on this thing about getting a place in Lake Tahoe, she said, my biggest fear if you do this, we'll never travel anywhere else.
Well, yeah, that's part of the arrangement, isn't it?
That's what I thought.
I mean...
She goes, you're fine if we just did a United States vacation every year. I go, yeah, I don't need to go to all these places. But I've had great vacations. Don't get me wrong. I've been a trooper. We've been to a bunch of places. And they're all nice. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy them all. No matter where I go, I'm fine. But I'm all right if we just have vacations around here.
Okay. You're eliminating your wife, Joe. Don't
do
that.
No, she doesn't want to hear that. No, that's not going to happen. All right. Hey, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk is going to join us coming up 9 o'clock hour. Get caught up. He's been doing a lot of stuff on the Dolphins. Now, I'm not responsible for what Mike's going to say about the Dolphins, because he got after it again yesterday. I heard him yesterday on this Tyreek and Tua thing. I was a little surprised that Tua came. Did that surprise you a little bit?
It surprised me from the standpoint you rarely hear players be honest like that. Okay, it would be the easiest thing for him to do when asked, "How's the relationship with Tua?" Everything's great. You know, everything's great. We had a little bump last season, but you know, we worked it out. And we're moving full steam. Instead, he said, "No, things aren't. You know, everything's not repaired. There's work to be done." And I appreciate the honesty, because, you know, in a different way from the outside, that's how I feel about Tyreek. I feel like you can't quit on a team and then say you want to be traded, and it takes you a month to come out and say,
right,
no, I don't want to be traded. And all of a sudden, because you're saying everything right now, everything's good. It doesn't work that
right
way.
Right. No. And that was a message, although obviously it was a topic by everybody nationally yesterday, and everybody's take, and most people sided with Tua. Tua did the right thing, man. This Tyreek stuff gets old. And what's going to happen? And then, as Mike's probably going to say, what's going to happen if he has one of those three catches for 28 yards and they lose and he's not part of it? How's he going to handle it? Last year he said he wanted to punch Mike in the face. He went on a podcast and said,
did he?
I was like, oh, God. I was just like, stop. Stop. He can be exhausting, but so far, so good, man.
And this is just the stuff that we hear. Can you imagine behind the scenes just last year, Tyreek and Jalen Ramsey, the things that I've heard?
Yeah.
You talk about exhausting every day when they had to deal with it.
I got to give Teron Armstead credit, because he went to Super Bowl and said it's not acceptable what Tyreek did. And now we heard Tua go, it's not acceptable.
And when Teron says that, when he said that, I mean, it's obvious it's not acceptable for a guy to quit on the team, but Teron comes out publicly and says that, you know, that's what the whole team feels.
Right.
That's the whole, everybody on the team
feels that way. There are a few guys
that
talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Hey, we've got more stuff to get to here as we continue on. A lot of news, a lot of Dolphins stuff, try to get you caught up on everything. Christian Wilkins, biggest surprise so far, this Christian Wilkins released by the Raiders, who paid about $50 million to him last year, still owe him some guaranteed money. A broken foot, a Jones fracture, has been released by the Raiders. So that's an interesting one. We'll come back, talk more about that. First, I want to tell you about my friends at Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. 36 years in the business, 135 trucks on the road, working 7 days a week. That's what great service is all about right there, not to mention a warehouse full of all-size air conditioning units and all size water heaters ready to go for you. They're the Water Heater Kings of South Florida. We also have a lot of Rheem air conditioning units ready to go for you. Listen, you have a problem right now. Your air conditioning unit is dead. You got a water heater that's blown out and you need a new one and you need it quickly. Same day installation is always the goal. Now, it's hot. Might be a little harder to get to you, but I want to let you know we have them in a warehouse ready to go. We don't have to order. They're not coming in from Wisconsin overnight. They are ready. Financing plans as well. Just great experience, man. When you talk about being around, Big Daddy Lenny started this thing 36 years ago with one truck, and this thing has built up through the years. We lost Big Daddy, But we didn't lose the rest of them still over there. Eric and all the rest of them still going strong, still doing great work for you. And 7 days a week. They understand you're going to have problems on a Saturday and a Sunday. Everybody's working, ready to go for you. So, hey, next time you have a problem, they have financing plans. You're going to get the great service with people that really know what they're doing at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Hey, man, here's the number, 1-888-FIX-MY-AC. You've seen the billboards, 1-888-FIX-MY-AC for Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Welcome back, and good morning to everybody out there, man, especially if first practice tomorrow, David. First practice open to the public. What is tomorrow morning's practice? Is it 9 o'clock or again?
I think they're all 9 o'clock, aren't
all
they?
All 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Boy, that hour is a killer here in the studio
changed,
to get
there. Changed the times this year.
Trying to get better weather, I'm guessing.
Yes,
right?
We
before
said.
The
yeah.
storms come in, so they're not having a rain practice every.
Meanwhile, the first day it rained.
Yeah, it didn't matter, right?
No, it didn't matter.
Kind of moved up there. But, so for everybody going out, you know the competition, you know where everything is. And for you, when you went out there, I know, like, for me, like Zach Wilson, I want to see how Zach Wilson's throwing the ball. I know how Tua's going to throw it. I'm good. Like, I want to know how Zach Wilson's going to throw it. To your point about how important it is to have a backup quarterback ready to go. I hope Tua stays, man. That's my number one, is Tua needs to stay healthy for 17. But I'm also, you know, trying to be realistic about this thing. He hasn't been healthy a lot.
Well, and you look at what happened last year, where they didn't have a backup quarterback in place ready to go. You can see how Zach Wilson, why he should be the perfect backup quarterback for this team. I asked him about his skill set. He goes, accuracy, getting rid of the ball quickly, perfect for this offense. But there's this nagging question to me of why didn't Sean Payton – he didn't activate him at all last year.
Yeah.
And he didn't throw a pass, didn't play a play last year. So who is he the next Sam Darnold?
I think part of this is Mike really liked him coming out.
Yeah, and he talked about that. He said, you know, one of the things was it's good to be at a staff that wants you. And certainly for a backup, that's really important. For Zach Wilson, I'd think that'd be the most important thing right now.
You know,
who believes in me?
I think everybody has said and agrees with this that no matter who had the second pick that year was going to take Zach Wilson as quarterback from BYU. I think a lot of people thought that.
Went to that workout. I don't remember that.
He put together one of the great pro days. I mean, his pro day, remember the throw? He goes to his left and throws it about 70 yards down the middle of the field, and going the opposite way. It was –
This gets back, though, to Bill Walsh's line, organizations make quarterbacks. They also ruin quarterbacks. Look at all the Jets quarterbacks who – Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Zach Wilson, guys who are drafted high, and those two – the other two guys have gone on and, you know, resurrected their careers to the point that they have really good careers right now.
Well,
and is Zach Wilson the next one to do it?
So now everybody's raving about this, you know, former – Jets player that's the head coach out of the Detroit system, played, you know, coach at the Lions. And Tannenbaum's been stroking him pretty good about, hey, it's, you know, I had the guy and he played for us and I know how he is and they're going to be a lot better. And they have not been able, they've had some good defense, they have not been able to put together a good offense in a long time. It's been the same things. Then we're going, they don't have a good enough offensive line. They don't have this. They don't have that.
Aaron Glenn has a place in Dolphin history, of course, as he was the rookie cornerback when Dan Marino threw the clock play.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, he was the cornerback. In fact, I asked him about it. He came down here for a year. Remember, at the end of his career, he played.
Yes.
And I asked him about it. He goes, I don't talk about that.
Yeah.
But if the Jets have solved their coaching problem, that would be, and their organizational problem, that'd be the start of something in New York that hasn't been there for, what, over a decade.
I don't think Justin Fields is going to have a very good year. I know he can run.
Well, he's not now because he –
Well, he's going to be back, though. They've said it's not as bad as
when you get that, he's taken off the cart.
Well, practice,
and cart. You think, okay, he's done. And then
hear golf cart, we think you're out.
For a Jets fan, the second part of that couldn't have been better. It's his toe. So he'll be back, but He almost beat the Dolphins when he was with Chicago.
Can I just say this, too? I very seldom. I know our business is tough, and everybody's got different personalities. The Mike Greenberg thing on ESPN, the Jets thing, and gloom and doom when they lose or something happens, and the overreaction to make – he's a national guy. And I get everybody's got a favorite team. I grew up in the Bay Area. The Bay Area were my teams. I was close enough in a small town. Those were our teams, and my dad was San Francisco, everything. But Mike Greenberg needs to let up the reaction. I can't even talk about this. Justin Fields is like, what do you mean you can't talk about it? It's your friggin' job.
This is the relatively new thing in national stuff, though. Look, you have
these guys openly like, oh, that's my team, and look at Mike Greenberg struggling again this year, and he's depressed because quarterback went down.
You have Stephen A. with the Knicks. You had Bisante with the Maple Leaves.
It's just too much, man. I agree with you.
They think it's entertaining.
It's entertaining when your team gets their ass kicked. It is like, hey, what do you have to say now? But the Greenberg and you don't. And then he got to tell her, you don't understand what I'm going through. This has been my team my whole life. And well, guess what? You've been covering every sport. That's your job, whole life. And it's just, you know, I just hate
the Jets, don't you, Joe?
I do.
You still?
I do. But then I watch ESPN, man. It's sports and
yeah. To me, that's not entertaining. That's the problem. Just like during the Panthers run, have someone who I think is really entertaining, but to do the whole Maple Leaf shtick, it's like gotten old. And Stephen A. with the Knicks when they that stuff that doesn't.
Yeah, and they lose a game, they come back, and they're like, oh, I can't even talk today. I'm like, well, what do you mean you can't talk? Like, dude, okay. We all grew up liking a team, but, I was rooting for a team I grew up with, 49ers, that you're going to get their ass kicked when they came down here. I mean, it's okay. Like, it just the over – I take losses hard for the Dolphins for a day, but come on, man. Like, you're friggin' on national TV.
I root for the home team. That's me. I root for my home. You know, what's good for travel? I don't, you do get down when the Dolphins lose. I talk to you afterwards.
I do.
You are down.
I do. Oh, no, and Bo gets down. Bo takes him, and we go through the same thing, and we'll see a guy looks like he ain't hurting enough. You're going, bro, friggin', I wish that guy felt like we friggin' did. Maybe, and we do stuff like that. We're doing the pulse after the game and the reaction and like, oh, that's not acceptable. It's a bad loss. The hell, man? What the hell? Fans are more pissed off than you are. You go through that.
I think that's often the case that fans are angrier than the players. And I don't say that to diminish the players, but they've been through it. They gave everything they did to try to win the game. And they
lose on purpose.
They move on.
And then I got to tell people, like, look, I know we lost, and I know you – they want to win, okay? I want to let you know, no matter what they make, they want to win the game. They don't just show up and go, all right, so what? It doesn't matter. They want to win. Everybody's got a different way of showing up, but they want to win. They're not just in it for the check, in a funk for days. Yeah, no question. All right. Hey, I got to tell you about Chapman Partnership before we jump into this 9 o'clock hour. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join us here in a little while. But Chapman Partnership, man, helping the homeless. Two great facilities. Their program, a lot of people around the country are starting to pick up on. Chapman Partnership. When you mention homeless, I understand. People go, oh, my God. Yeah, I know the people come to your car and want money every time I'm at a stoplight or a stop sign. Well, this is so much more than that. Yeah, it is a warm meal. It is a place to stay, but it's about changing lives daily. It really is, providing caring support and wraparound services that they have set up with the goal of 3 to 4 months of rehabilitation, of helping homeless families and individuals find a job, find a place to live, and getting back out on their own. And they've been doing it and doing it well for a long, long time. They've got some great success stories. They really do. And by the way, while we're talking about Chapman Partnership, they're celebrating their 30th anniversary this year. 30 years of hope, man. 3 decades, Chapman has assisted over 145,000 individuals and families to overcome self-sufficiency. Join me here 2025 to celebrate and support their mission. More than 800 men, women, and children, families, and it's growing every day, man. It's growing every day, but the goal never changes, and we need your help. Join me at WQM to show your support with one of my favorite charities that really makes a difference every day in our community. Any level of support that you can give is impactful. Let's help support families and individuals overcoming homelessness at Chapman here in 2025. Go online. Any amount you can give, or you want to go down and see it and then give, we'd love to do that for you too. I'd love to have you come see and see how you can help. It's ChapmanPartnership.org, ChapmanPartnership.org. Thank you so much for any amount of money you can give to help the homeless at Chapman Partnership.